Hello and welcome to the sixth Manx Footy pod of the 25-26 season. Brought to you in association with Jerry McGinn, Painter and Decorators. Making up the podcast's attacking trio this week is the poor man's Don Goodman, Disco Dave Norton.
Hi everyone.
And Manx Football's very own Jermaine Jenness, Tom Kirby.
I'll take that, hello.
Well,
he was disgraced, Tom.
Yeah.
No hard proof there, but like...
On that bombshell, Happy New Year, chaps. The first one of the year. Should we apologise? Should we have done one in January? Probably.
We did do two in December, though. We're just going to do it monthly, aren't we?
Yeah, so. We're a bit like buses.
But we were all too embarrassed by our performances in the Christmas quiz as well.
The worst Christmas quiz ever.
That was good. I mean, I just embarrassed myself.
Yeah. That Christmas quiz has sparked much correspondence to the Manx Football Podcast headquarters. We'll go over that in a minute, but I just want to go loop back up slightly. Any New Year's resolutions, lads? Any footballing resolutions, Tom?
Maybe play a bit, it'll be nice, and maybe play well.
It was a clean sheet last week.
I did come off slightly injured, but it was a clean sheet. 5-0 win, you can't complain of that. Combi 2, where it's at.
Yeah. Dave, any footballing resolutions?
I mean, I'd have to have an ounce of footballing talent to have ambitions and resolutions.
Okay.
You've seen my talent on the football
pitch. Are we going to try and get the tables right every week in the examiner?
We'll see. It depends if teams put the right results into
full time. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. It sounds like Dean has a nightmare with that as well. Can't be easy.
Mm-hmm. Right, we've got plenty to discuss on our comeback special, the first of 2026, including a plethora of pitch side interviews from the one and only Paul Hatton. But before that, he sent us a letter and a belated Christmas present.
Wow.
Hey, thank you,
Hattie. So Hattie dropped this the other week and he said, please open this on air, as it were.
Okay.
So I think he's thinking, have you seen all these YouTubers that unbox?
I do the ASMR stuff,
What you do in your spare time, dude.
What are you talking about? It's the audio sensory thing.
Sorry, I thought it was something else. That's why you only had 2 gigs left.
Well, yeah, that's it, yeah.
Before I open it, what do you think it is?
A football.
Right, for those of you who are listening to this is probably going to be a bit of a wasted 2 minutes, but I'm rustling next to the microphone, but go onto our YouTube channel and you'll see this all in a glorious technicolor. Right, he's wrapped it well. Hattie is a good rapper, isn't he?
Hattie, you can wrap all my Christmas presents if you chose.
Yeah.
Oh, right, hang on. I think he also said there is a letter in this very formal brown envelope. Last time I had an envelope like this, it was from the tax department. So hang on.
What does he need to say on a letter? He calls you every day.
I think it's for effect, if I'm being honest.
Okay.
Right, so we'll open that. So here we go.
It's like when you check for cash.
It's a good envelope, that. We'll keep that. Yeah, right. Dear Manx Footy Podcast, I trust you are all keeping well and that you have all enjoyed the recent festive celebrations? Did you get some celebrations?
I hope so.
We did have some in the office, to be fair.
It's that long ago.
No one likes a bounty, though, do they? Besides contributing numerous articles to the sports desk, which is now approaching 30 years. Wow.
Fair play to you.
He was only 12 when he started. I am also an avid fan of the Manx Football Podcast, so I was looking forward to listening to the final podcasts of 2025, weren't we all?
Yeah.
I was also particularly interested in the Manx Football Quiz, which Mr. Sam Turton provided with help from you, I believe.
Not much. ChatGPT did a lot of work.
So I was keen to test my knowledge, having co-written 2 books on this subject to date. So when the question came up, how many players from the Isle of Man's national team could you name that travelled to Orkney in 2025, with a minimum target set of 7 set ad, hang on, yet Adam and Andy could only name 3 and Disco named 4. I was aghast. Now he's talking about the women's squad.
I remember we did poorly on this.
Yeah. And I think at the time we were suitably ashamed of our
lack. We were embarrassed, there was.
But Hattie, as we know, is the leading expert on women's football in the Isle of Man. Yeah. So I can tell his frustration.
Yeah.
Anyway, he goes on. Did you know that you have the best Manx football, women's football corresponding available right on your fingertips, and this could be purchased from retail outlets across the island on a Thursday in the Manx Independent? He's taking the piss.
Of course he is, but...
Fair play, Annie. There's also an online subscription available on the Isle of Man Today website.
Nice little plug there. I like it.
He is right. I do believe Becky, a.k.a. El Capitan Corkish, has also been in contact, and she is not happy too. Well, that comes on to our second letter. Yes. It's like, we're getting flooded.
Hate mail.
I'll come on to that in a second. And has provided you all with some much-needed homework. Right, we will come across that. Since Wayne Lisi took charge in 2022, the women's team have secured two medals at the 2023 and 2025 Island Games, along with the Cherry Godfrey Cup. Yes, which was in Jersey last year.
Yes, I think so, yeah.
I think it's in Guernsey this year. They are also currently preparing for the defence of their competition, which takes place in Guernsey this year. I was right, yeah. With the introduction of a number of youngsters being given the chance, the average age of the squad was 25 that participated at last year's Island Games. So to assist you further, please find enclosed a photo frame of the Isle of Man Women's National Team showcasing their silver medals in Orkney back in 2025. I trust this will be put pride of place on the unit alongside the football memorabilia accumulated over the football campaign. Best wishes, Hattie.
And he signed it.
Oh, look at that.
He said, P.S. And this is a P.S.
Okay.
I love a P.S.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I'm not sure about PPS's. I feel like you could have got that in the first
one. I don't understand a PS. Why can't you just say it before you say it?
Because he finished. This is what, remember when you were typewriting?
Yeah.
Back in the day, you were too young. When you had a typewriter, and then you'd have written it, and you thought, I should have had a day.
And you can't just go back on
No.
Yeah, I get what you mean. Yeah.
So this has been written on a computer, though. So
it could have gone back.
We might just have to test your knowledge again on the subject come the end of 2026.
I like it.
Maybe naming the Cherry Godfrey squad, if your scores don't improve, we might just escalate this further in the form of a forfeit to be decided.
Oh,
okay.
I think the forfeit could be that we have to go and train with the women's squad. Because I've done that before.
Have you done it before?
I trained with the women's team before. I when Steve Burns and Keith Lunt were in charge of them way back when, and I went in goal.
What was the reason? Was it not like a podcast special? Was it just you?
I did it as a feature. No, it wasn't just.
I thought you just rocked up.
No. I was just like,
how did you play?
I think I played quite well.
Nice.
I didn't get a call up though, for many reasons. right, so we'll open this now. So again, this is dragging on. Oh, he's made these really has wrapped as well.
Yes.
I know he was taking to a professional for it to be framed as well.
Wow.
Fair play to him.
I suppose at this point, Dave, we thank Hattie for his continuing hard work.
Yeah, to be fair, Hattie, you are an absolute legend in Manx football.
Oh, look at this, boys.
Oh,
that is cool.
That's brilliant.
That looks smart, doesn't it? So he's done it in Everton Blue just for you, Andy, as well.
So for those of you joining us in the audio streams, this is it's a lovely blue backed framed picture of the women's team with their silver medal from last year. All the names are on there, so we can study the dates, the venue. Oh, it's fantastic.
That's really good.
It's a really nice picture as well, and it does remind me of Orkney, where it was absolutely scorching for the week as well. So that's very kind. Thank you very much, Hattie.
Thank you. Hey, cheers, Hattie.
We'll put this pride of place somewhere. Do you want to put it just up on the top there?
Yeah, make sure it doesn't fall on Tom's head.
Can they see us? Can they see it there?
I'm sure they can see it. Don't drop it.
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
That wouldn't be amazing.
Very windy in here.
Anyway, but as Hattie said, we did also have correspondence from Becky. Hello, if you're listening, Becky. She said...
She's handwritten this, by the way.
So there could be a PS on this one.
Yeah.
Dear Manx 40 Podcast, I would love to be able to provide you with some Isle of Man women's team memorabilia. However, your ability to name members of the squad in your latest quiz simply does not justify the donation of anything. That's fair.
Yeah, it's very fair. Yeah, we don't deserve memorabilia if we can't name the squad.
She's given us, pardon the expression, a booby prize.
Oh.
For now, here is some Foxdale AFC memorabilia up the Dale for your collection. Right, Dave, do you want to point out? And once your knowledge of the women's game gets closer to your knowledge of the men's game, then you may find yourself with a gift from the Isle of Man women's team.
Oh.
Here is a list of the squad and their club to get you started. If you'd like any further info, I'd be more than happy to help. Keep up the good work. Love, Corky. That's very nice. That's from him. And then Becky has listed the full squad, which I'm sure she did off the top of her head.
I just don't understand the keep up the good work part. Isn't the whole point of the letter we didn't do good work?
I think in large.
Okay, she's happy enough with us. But
I feel it's probably, in the modern parlance, it's a bit of a shit sandwich. Yeah, praises us initially.
Yeah.
Then and then it's very much a management style.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And then you criticise, yeah, but then at the end say, so lots of good people, exactly. Good work. But yeah, these Foxtel hats are unbelievable.
And how bad does keep up the work sound? Not good. Just bang average.
Yeah. No, she said good, do you think?
Yeah, she did. Yeah.
Do these pants bring back good memories for you, Andy?
I've never been lucky enough to have Foxtel pants before.
Yeah. Joma is mad as well.
Isn't it? Spanish.
You don't often see a Joma anymore.
But thank you very much for that, Becky. That's tremendous. That also joins our Colby shirt. I mean, obviously, before Christmas, we had the Onkin and the D&D mascot. And what else have we managed to recruit? Oh, Dave did us some lovely FIFA cards for Christmas.
Yeah, so they're just now behind the women's national team.
Which I'm sure you'll see now on social media over the festive break, but they're very much appreciated. But we are still open for memorabilia. We still have all this shelf space to fill, so if your club wants to be represented in the Hall of Shame, please do... get in touch and drop them off to our publishing house. It's not a publishing house, isn't it? James Brown House.
James Brown House, of course.
Not that one. On Finch Road. And yeah. We'll get them featured for the next podcast. Anyway, as I mentioned, that wasn't the only gift we've had from Hattie this week. He's been out with his Sony Handycam again. And he's been recording every game he's been to. He's done an interview for us.
What a guy.
Well, most games, I'm going to say.
Wild video of the waves as well.
Well, he's been on Wave Watch this week.
Exactly.
He's like Reed Timmer.
He really is.
That's a niche reference for those of you who don't keep up with the local news. Yeah. Right. First off, though, it's probably only fitting. We start off with the one, the only, Becky Corkish, and the Man women's team manager, Wayne Lisi, who we spoke to after a recent training camp at the Bowl.
So I'm joined here by the Ireland women's captain, Becky Corkish, and the Ireland women's manager, Wayne Lisi. So just want to reflect on the past 25. So how was 2025 from an Ireland national team women's perspective?
Pretty good, to be fair. Silver in the Ireland Games. Whether we're a little disappointed not to win that or not, but it's still a silver at the end of the day, it's still a final. And to lose on penalties, we took them all away this time, Bermuda. Hopefully next time it'll be the gold. But other than that, we had some great friendlies. We had a friendly here on the Isle of Man, which is fantastic. It was an opportunity for friends and family to come down and watch the players. So all real positives all the way through the year, and we push on to next year.
Good work, you, Corky. Do you have anything more to add to that?
Yeah, just what everything Wayne said. It's just a positive year for the women's team. Even with the friendlies that we had a couple over on the Isle of Man, which makes a change. Normally we're away, which is nice to get off the island to go and show what talent we've got, but to be able to show the home fans and friends and family what we've got as well. It's not often they get to watch us, so it was nice to show off on home ground.
Yeah, so just saying, how was that? There was a real, over 200 people down, real family feel to the occasion. It was a great day that Kennel coming all the way to the Isle of Man to play us in a friendly. It was really good. Showcase our top women footballers, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And it was nice to have a load of people down supporting as well, because obviously in the local game we don't tend to get many supporters down unless it's just mums and dads. And so yeah, having lots of people, friends, family down to your support was really good.
And also some of our junior Ireland players were there down watching too as well, something to aspire to.
Yeah.
But definitely. But also we mentioned about the build up tour as well. You had two tough matches, Altrincham and Dienas Mon. So how do you find those matches leading up to Orkney?
I think Dienas Mon gave us a lot tougher battle than what they did in the last time we played them in a friendly. So we knew that they'd had a different squad, so we weren't really sure what to expect from them. But yeah, it was nice to be challenged just before the Ireland Games.
I think those friendlies, for me, it was about a little bit of experimentation in terms of formations and playing certain players in certain roles. So obviously when we went to the Ireland Games, I was better prepared in what I needed. So I think if you go into... If you go to win those matches, then we set up differently, but those matches are the opportunity to practice and try a few different things. So I think we win if we go to win those matches properly, but that's not what it was about this year.
Okay. You're talking about the Orkney Ireland Games. How does that Orkney 2025, how's the experience, how did it compare to Guernsey 2023?
Well, for me personally, I was better prepared. Obviously, Guernsey was my first as manager. And I learned a lot from that trip as to how I would set up the next Scotland game. So I learned a lot. I think the players learned a lot because we had a lot of new players in that Guernsey trip as well. So we had a lot of experience when we went to Orkney, more than we had in Guernsey, I thought.
I think Guernsey gave us a bit of a foundation as well to know what to expect when we went to Orkney. The squad from the last Ireland games into Guernsey was quite a different squad. So going into Orkney with a similar squad to Guernsey, we all kind of knew what to expect. We knew how to prepare for the games. We knew how to rest. So yeah, it kind of gave us a bit more of a foundation to be able to perform well in Orkney.
Okay, so no, just there with another medal. What's it like? What's 2026? What got planned?
Well, we'll be bringing the Cherry Godfrey Cup home again, hopefully.
So yeah, we're off to Jersey to Guernsey to win the Cherry Godfrey Cup again, definitely.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll have a couple of friendlies before that in preparation. We're trying to also get a little bit of a round robin tournament here at the bowl in July. Yunus Marn, I think, have confirmed they're coming over, so we're just getting another team together for a weekend of women's football.
Brilliant. I think the Cherry Godfrey will be a bit tougher for us this time, though, with FC Guernsey and FC Jersey both being in the English League, so they're obviously getting competitive games away, whereas obviously the Isle of Man aren't getting that as much at the moment, so I think it's going to be a tougher cup for us to win this year, but I'm sure we'll be able to do it.
And what's it like just to have everybody back together training again, you know, that camaraderie, that team spirit, you know, and all their training back together again, training?
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice to be back with the girls. It's a really close-knit squad, so yeah, it's good to be playing with each other as opposed to against each other every weekend.
It's great to have them, like, everyone's focused straight from the off. There's no messing about. Everyone wants to be here, everyone wants to push. And with the introduction of a couple of new players in as well, a couple of 16-year-olds, so there's always competition for places.
Right. On that note, Becky, Wayne, thank you very much.
Cheers.
Thanks, Hattie.
Cheers. Thank you.
That was very insightful, especially when the floodlight went off. That always seems to happen in our clips.
Yeah. Well, you keep it professional, don't you?
Yeah, you keep it going.
It's in keeping with how we, you know, produce these wonderful podcasts.
Sticking with women's football, chaps, it's a big day on Sunday. It's the Floodlit Cup final between Peel and Douglas Royal, 2:45 at the Bowl. Thoughts, Dave? Peel should be firm favourites to this one, shouldn't they? The final many were predicting was last weekend.
Yeah, I think so. They're certainly going to be surefire favourites. They've had a good campaign. They're just in fine fettle, so yeah, I'd imagine they'll lift the trophy. But you never know. It's form does go out the window sometimes in cup games, so we'll see.
Maybe the weather will play a part in it.
Well, the Bowls always wins best,
exactly,
at the best of times.
It is, so imagine a bit of wind. I'm hoping it's not a huge scoreline in the final. Everyone wants to see a competitive game, don't they?
Yeah, exactly. So
fingers crossed.
So that game's 2:45 at the National Stadium on Sunday. Hattie will be there.
I believe Dean will promote his live streaming it again as well.
That's really cool as well, yeah. What Dean's doing.
Did he say he had over 500 streams for the semi-final?
Yeah, which is fantastic.
Was it a first for women's football as well?
I think so, yes. Yeah. Well, Dean breaking the mould again. So yeah. Have you gone onto his front page?
On his Facebook page, yeah. He'll post the links on there over the weekend.
So if you can't make it for the bowl for whatever reason, you can at least enjoy the game from home. Right, ahead of the FA Cup, Hattie, as I say, has been a busy boy. He's also caught up with Onken duo Patrick Riley and James O'Kelly, plus Russian United stalwart Aaron Ron Hawley. Let's have a listen to what those three fine gentlemen had to say now.
So I'm joined here today at the Niverson Stadium after the Premier League match involving Onken v United, which Onken finished 5-1 winners, joined by James Kelly, the Onken manager, and Patrick Riley. So first of all, cast your mind back towards the end of last year and just avoided relegation. I think probably that year, it's fair to say, a year consolidation getting into the Premier League. So what do you think has been probably the triggers come pre-season for you to really push on this season?
Fitness levels. We knew last season we weren't quite at it, so we got fitter in the summer. I think having the experience of having a year in the Premier League playing against the better teams, you know, your Peels, Corinthians, Laxey's, Marys, it did us a lot of good. We knew how to play against them. We changed a little bit how we wanted to play. We used our advantages more, you know, quick going forward. I think a lot of teams have seen that this season. About just the pace we've had with Tom, Ethan, people like that. So it's been a lot of good seasons. Still a lot to play for. Obviously getting into the Railway Cup was a big step for us. I don't think it was a goal at the start of the season, but after the first four or five results we had, I thought we changed our goals and thought we've got to go for it then. And no, we did.
Okay, Patrick, do you want to add any more to that?
No, what Jamison said, yeah. I mean, we've been fighting, well, last season we've been played, we were fighting relegation. But I mean, Prescott, Goz, in pre season, they've changed us well. Fitness levels have gone up. And yeah, we're just more of a unit now, I'd say. So, and we're all fighting together. It's going well.
That's interesting. We mentioned there about probably infrastructures behind the scenes. I think that's, you probably take care of what happens on the pitch, but behind the scenes, you've probably got a great committee likes of Ryan Callow and Quirky, and also not forgetting you've got some great coaches there involving Goz and Connor. So, how much of it must feel so reassuring to have that behind the scenes for you to go, for you to push on and go forward as a club.
Yeah, I know for my, like last season there was me, Goz and Mark Rees, and there was three of us, you know, trying to do it with two teams. And, you know, one's away, then at least 2 years, but now we've got obviously Adam Prescott in, Keith's come in as well. So there's like, we've got a good group of five coaches there over the two teams. Training levels have been so much better. You know, the structure of it, the work ethic, you know, we've got the young lads coming through as well. You know, Bo's only 16 playing today. So from that perspective, it's been a lot, lot better.
Yeah, no, it's been good. Like I say, training sessions have been very good. Lads are putting in a real shift, doing more road running as well. we're all committed to the cause. We're all the same drive to what it is we actually want to do. And yeah, the coaches coming in, Prescott and Goz, working us hard, so no complaints.
Okay, well, just mentioned there about just this season, you've seen it qualify for the Rally Cup for the first time, I think 65-66 season. It's fair to say that this is a club that's really pushing forward on the pitch, and I can see this club going to probably better and better, greater things.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, we got into the Railway Cup. Obviously, it wasn't our day in the semi-finals, played against a good Corinthians team who obviously went on to win it. I think we showed that Corinthians were well experienced for that sort of occasion. I don't think we were, and probably got to us a little bit. But you know what, we still competed in the game, and now we've got to look for the future. You know, we've got Andy's under 16s team who are doing really, really well in their league. They're all turning 16 throughout this season, so adding them into the team will be even good. We had Trav, who's only 16, playing last week in the Cup, and then we've got a few more all turning 16, so getting them involved in the senior football is going to be key for us, so we can keep them for the next season and reach on.
Yeah, I mean, at the start of the season, we all want to obviously do better than last year. But actually getting to where we did in the Rally Cup, it was good. It was a good experience for us, obviously. Corinthians have been there a few times, a bit more experience, like Jan was saying. But yeah, it's helping us. It's giving us experience, it's giving us exposure to it. And yeah, just got to keep pushing on now, see how it goes.
Okay, touch there about the youth. Set up there, probably an absolutely fantastic setup. It must be also just touching there before, reassuring to see these youngsters coming through the ranks too as well, and really pushing, you know, the for those senior places in the first and second teams.
Yeah, like I said, when I first came in as first team manager, we were in the second division. My biggest thing was staying in the first division. I could have had this great setup for years and years and years. As soon as they hit 16, because we're in the second division, they'd go off to other clubs. Now we're in the first division, they want to stay with us. Competing at the top, there's no reason for them to leave now. Like I said, Andy's team that are all coming through, they're really good players. I want to get many of them involved in the senior setup as I can, get them playing, so we've got that path all the way through for the young kids seeing that.
Yeah, no, it's really nice seeing all the young lads come through. Some exceptional players there. Andy's done well, he's trained them well. But like I say, yeah, we've got a few players, Trav's coming in, play class the week before. But yeah, it's just giving them experience and see how they push on.
Well, just interesting. Let's talk about today's match too as well, because United, you know, they have been there amongst the silverware in the past 2 or 3 years. So following on the disappointment of missing out on the Railway Cup, just how important is it for you to probably bounce back from that and get back to winning ways?
Yeah, we weren't at the races last week and we struggled a little bit at times against Geordies. Obviously, as you do, come back after Christmas. But we got the win, and then today was about, we had a really good week of training this week. I wanted to match out with the performance, and we did. I know we're missing a few players today, you know, missing Sean Kelly and Jake Callister, people like that. But you clearly play with what's in front of you, and you know, and a really good performance, 5-1 win, can't ask more than that.
Yeah, like I say, like Jan was saying, it was nice to kind of bounce back. Geordies it was a one-off game, but it was nice to actually come back, get a comfortable win on the scoreboard and just keep moving.
So is it fair to say that you're probably going to hope to use this league form and just trying to have a knock-on effect in the cup competitions, because you must really find yourself in the both cup competitions now and try and finish as high up in the league as possible?
Yeah, as I said, we're in the hunt for now for like a top spot there. You know, there's two cups we've still got to play for. I've got all boys in next round, which won't be easy. Let's see what we can do for the rest of the season.
Yeah, just see how it goes. We can just focus on ourselves and just see what happens. Push up the league and see how we do in the cup games.
Well, I'm joined here today with our Rush United's Aaron Hawley. They just finished playing their FA Cup Premier match against Malou, which finished 9-1 to Rush United. So I just want to gather thoughts off Aaron regarding Rush to date. So first of all, you know, your season to date, you started off very promisingly against a win over Peel and an away win at A United, two notable victories, but it just seemed to ease off around the midway phase, missing out in the Rally Cup qualification. How disappointing, started off so brightly and then just
we started well, didn't we? We were flying start of the year, got a good result at home against Peel, and we thought we were flying, really. We thought we were away, and I don't know, maybe just like this, we haven't got a massive squad, and maybe losing one or two hurt us a little bit, I think, before Christmas. We had a tough run of games as well. Those last few games we had of the 12, they were tough and just didn't make it. Yeah, it's disappointing, but things, isn't it?
We've got this FA Cup match here today. Now, we probably didn't need to be reminded against Malou. They're going back a few years back when they beat you 4-2 on your pitch. So how important was it to get the win here today?
Yeah, we knew it's a derby. We've had a lot of big battles against these over the years, and we knew they'd be up for it. The pitch is a bit muddy. We know they've been training through Christmas and stuff like that, so they were definitely keen to come out and try and do us. But the first goal's important, isn't it? And we got a goal quite early on, I think, and that settled us really. And we were good, I thought, on a difficult pitch. We sort of moved it about, and we were strong physically over the pitch. We tend to be a strong physical side anyway, and we sort of coasted through really. I think the other goal was important for us.
Yeah, okay. Well, just to mention about your squad being quite tight there, you know, we have seen the introduction of the junior players coming through the youth ranks, probably not more so than Lockie Denham there today with that was a 3-4 goal haul.
Yeah.
So just how important do you see now, do you see the benefits now of that Russian academy now paying off, filtering into the senior teams?
It's absolutely vital, isn't it? We've got you look at our squad, and we're an old squad, aren't we? Myself, Steve Riding, we've got Ash Blake, Steve Harris, you know, Matt Lamb. It's an older type squad, isn't it? And we need some young players. We need some sort of energy and some freshness coming through. Lockie's brilliant, lightning, isn't he? We've got Joe Kelly on the other side, who can be a top player as well. Cosmo Kinley's coming through. There's a few decent ones coming through. We need them as a club. We need them coming through now, so we're glad to see it.
Well, it's around this time around last year, you had a dreadful start to the season before. It was around the turn of 2025. You strung up that impressive run of results, which came to an end at the FA Cup semi-final against Foxhall. So do you think we could see this match as a trigger to build that momentum?
Yeah, I think with a squad as small as ours, I think it does sort of suit itself towards cup football. We feel like we're a good cup side. We feel like, because we're quite strong physically, we can compete with anybody. So I think cup matches, we fancy ourselves, really. We fancy ourselves against anyone. I think we naturally will tend to build up a little bit through towards the end of the season. So hopefully we'll pick up again now.
Well, you think people talk about that Foxhall match, it's FA Cup semi-final, was one that getaway. Are you really keen to put amend that wrong from last year?
Massively, especially when you get to my age and you start looking at these games, don't you? The number of chances, the more chances you're going to have, and yeah, you don't want to throw it away like what we did there last year, 3-0 up on it, I think, and threw it away 3-3. So yeah, we definitely want to see a repeat of that.
Well, so what a final question is, what can expect from Rush United now for the rest of the season?
I don't know. I think we'll challenge anyone on our day. I don't know whether we've got whether we've got the squad strength to go and push on, but I think we'll challenge anyone. We'd like to cause a few upsets, and we're definitely building our way towards those cups again, which we always fancy, don't we?
Right, Dave, it's FA Cup first round weekend. Now, we've had the preliminary round, haven't we?
We have.
It's always a bit of a... Is that the first round? Is this the first round? Is this the second round? Is the second round the quarterfinals? Who knows?
You okay,
I don't know. Yeah. But it's the ECAP Officially, it's the ECAP first round now, this FA Cup first round. There's a plethora of ties that are picked Premier League against Division 2, isn't there? One quite close to my heart, and that's where we're going to kick off today's look ahead, and that's Peel versus Paul Rose.
I love that game.
A game I went to, the corresponding fixture, 20 years ago.
You were in your early throes of your journalism career.
Yeah, I was four, and I went to watch Peel versus Paul Rose at Springfield Road. It went to extra time and penalties, and Pulley dumping them or illustrious opponents out of the cup in a game, and I still remember to say, it was going dark at the end, so they had car lights and everything. And then Stewie Morris, the goalkeeper, was the hero, saving a couple of pens. And he actually went on to play for Peel.
Earned a good contract after that.
But great game, great memories. Now, can Pulley pull off another cup set this week?
It's going to be a big ask. Peel are flying. You know, the challenger for the title. You know, they've got so many good players in their squad. Pulley, though, they've got a talented team as well. I think they're fourth in Division 2 at the moment, Tom. You're looking at the table right there.
Yeah, just they're fourth, just ahead of them around. So if they want to... these are the games that if they... I know that it's mainly looking like it's going to be Colby and Castletown to go up, but it's probably setting their sights to go up. This is the type of games that always like test you, doesn't it, before you go up? And as I say, I love this fixture. I don't know why. It's just Pulley versus Peel. Sounds nice off the tongue.
It's a bit like... maybe doing teams disservice here. Liverpool, Wimbledon, isn't it?
The crazy
gang of Pulley versus the, you know.
Yeah. I'll be calling Pulley the crazy gang.
Yeah, the culture club of Peel. I think they'll take it as a compliment.
They will take that as a compliment, of course they will. And you know what? They're doing very well this season. And I reckon they'll back themselves. Is that at Peel, am I right?
Is that Peel?
So that might make it a bit more challenging.
This might cause me a bit of aggro next time I go to the bakery, though. Are Pulley underperforming this season?
Underperforming, I don't know.
They're 9 points off second.
With games in hand.
They've got two games in hand.
I don't know.
I lost three games so far. I know it's been stop-start.
They did bring in some good signs. Yeah. Like Aaron Canepa, James McGinn came back. Perhaps you could have... Maybe people would have had them a bit higher up. But I don't know. They're in and around it, and maybe that's where I expect them to be. So, and they're not bad. Their Combi, on the other hand, are flying.
Combi are flying.
Yeah, they got their first defeat, Ryan soon.
Yeah, they lost to Dafka the other week.
Dean wasn't correct about putting them going unbeaten. He said they're going to not just go unbeaten, they're going to win every match,
He said. He's glad he doesn't have to come up with a golden trophy now.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
But no, they sort of 3-2, 5-0. They lost to Moran the other week as well. Pulley, maybe... Maybe you're not where they want to be. Yeah. And the reason I bring it up is because... This time of year is particularly is where you're grasping for motivation. You know, I think you're right. I'm not. You know, Colby and Castellano are no means running away with it.
No.
Youthy are in that mix as well. I think a few good results and a few results the other way for other teams, and you're right back in the mix.
Yeah.
But is this game, Dave, a distraction for them, or is it something that they can perhaps build on the performance?
I think it's probably... It's that classic, they can gauge their progress almost in these sort of games. They won't be expected to beat Peel. The pressure will be off. So I'm guessing they'll probably just be about, you know, trying to produce a good performance and enjoying themselves. So I think it's, you know, I don't think it's a distraction. They'll want to prove themselves, won't they?
It's a big pitch at Peel as well, with a big crowd down there as well. And like, I think if it had been at Pulley, I'd have given them more of a chance. You know, like, welcome to Springfield Road. It's like, it's horrible, you know, playing at Pulley. You've got the Pulley fans there. They're rowdy. And like, I think if it was at Pulley, I'd give them more of a chance. But I think Peel, it's quite nice for them to get away from the league campaign, I think, and to play a team in Division 2. I think they're everyone want a goal, if you know what I mean.
If you're Peel, though, do you shuffle your deck a bit this weekend?
I don't know. It depends on what the injuries and stuff you've got, I suppose, and whether people are at risk.
Because, again, the reason I say that is their Combi are actually having quite a good season. They seem to be bringing through another scotch of good youngsters. Is this the game you bleed? You know, you give them a bit of first-team experience?
Potentially, yeah. But then you've also got to think, they could probably catch us out, and the FA Cup Peel will desperately want to win this year, won't they?
Yeah.
It's not a competition that's small. I mean, this is... Peel have been built on FA Cups, haven't they? If Peel go into this thinking it's going to be a breeze, they could easily get done, I think. But
I guess the other factor is Peel have a free week next week as well.
They didn't play last
week, so they're in this spell now. They just want to play, don't they? Just want to get...
And this will be a great game for them to just come back into. And I can only see one winner, unfortunately, in Peel.
Now, I know this one sort of maybe moves away from our cup set narrative, but Old Boys Onken... is a derby, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
I've got a cup derby as well.
Exactly. And which clubhouse do they go to? Blackberry
Lane.
Blackberry Lane, of course.
But to me, Onkin have played well. They had a good, you know, got into the Railway Cup. They don't want their season petering off at all, do they? So another good cup run's probably a must, Dave, isn't it?
100%. They have met once already this season. They played out a 3-3 draw at the Nipson Stadium. Yes. So
sexy.
Yeah. So and that was, that was a bit of a setback for Onkin. Obviously, they were flying at the time.
It's a great result from all boys. That
yeah, it is, and yeah, it's results like that that are going to probably keep them in the Premier League if they do manage to stay up. So, I don't know. Onkin again, they've got such a good squad there. I mean, I guess a lot depends on the availability of the likes of Tom Creer and players like that. So it'd be interesting. Wonder whether the pitch might be a bit of a leveller. You never know. It probably won't be in the best of Nick, will it?
No, probably not.
Onkin score goals. I think it's fairly evident. Yeah, as the players that you've mentioned. Like last week, the 24th, they had a 6-3 game against Corinthians. You know, a classic Manx football scoreline. I'm expecting more of the same this week, but I think they'll just have too much in the tank for Old Boys.
It wasn't just... I hadn't realised how good of a story Onkins is until I bumped into James Carouche at the Woody on Friday, the captain, and he was explaining to me that Onkin last season were just managed to stay up by the skin of their teeth, I'm pretty sure, and they just about scraped up, and then without bringing more or less no players, and I know they got Tom Creer back from FC Alaman properly, but without really bringing anyone in, this same team got Railway Cup.
Yeah,
it's
bonkers, crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, they've really outdone themselves, Onkin. So I think perhaps the story is even better than maybe we've given them credit for.
So last season they finished third bottom, 22 points. They currently sit fourth with having played 8 games fewer.
Yeah,
and they've already on 28 points.
And I think they can get that record. I swear, I'm not sure what James was telling me. He'll correct me if I'm wrong. He does, and he's an avid listener. And he was telling me that I think they can get their highest ever points total.
Right.
Their own. I think that's the aim now. You know, once the Railway Cup's done, sometimes and you're in that fourth position,
you can
just kind of tail off.
Yeah.
Because teams are like, what have we got to work for now?
It's that motivation.
Exactly.
I was just talking
where
about.
I think if you've got something to work for, such as a points total, or you know, maybe even finishing above St Mary's might be the target, or yeah, I don't know. It's they've had a great season. Let's just say that, and I think they'll probably continue having a great season when they beat Old Boys.
They've had an Old Boys approach this though, because obviously the league is the priority for them. A damaging 2-1 loss in their bid to stay in the top flight last week against relegation rivals Braddon.
Yeah.
Is this one where they just think we're not really that fussed? Or
I don't know, because you know, you look at their results, barring a couple, they've been close in pretty much every single game. You know, they've had a couple of one or two heavy defeats, but most of them have been by the odd goal. So they keep themselves in the game, and sort of the longer this game goes on and they're in the match against Onkin, they might fancy their chances. But yeah, I think you're right though, they are very much focused on the league. This could be a welcome distraction though.
I think it does help. You know, I remember when I'm running around there the past two seasons, it's been awful being a different one. And when you've got an FA Cup fixture, you just watch it feel less stressed, less worried.
Yeah.
The players are probably a bit more less freaked out with the idea of another loss, another checking table afterwards. If you're out the cup, you're out the cup. It's not the end of the world, is it? But
no.
I can see your boys properly going for this, because it'll be a bit of respite from the league, as they say. And Onkin's not, they'll love getting that as a draw, I reckon, old boys as well. Gives them a proper meaty tie to get into. And as you say, they drew early in the season. So there's nothing to say they can't get nicked something.
Exactly.
All right, next we head north to the capital of the north, and that's Ramsey. And it's Ramsey Youth Centre versus St John's. St John's plugging away in mid-table as always, Tom. They're not that far off the top four. 7 points with I think they've got a couple of games in hand.
Mm-hmm.
But Youthy are still in that promotion mix. Although they have got... They played a game more, and they're 10 off the pace.
It's difficult. Rycott are like, I think we've called them before, the nearly men. I wonder how many seasons in a row they've been in and around it, but not gone up.
Well, they've missed out on goal difference at least once, haven't they? So.
But again, Rycott St John's is another brilliant FA Cup game. Like, I love the Cup. It just feels nice that them two teams are playing. But is that at Rycott, sorry? Yeah. Or whether or not the St John's. I think this could be a slip up from St John's. I'm calling a cup set here. Oof. I think travelling up north, it's a cup match. I don't know, the weather's might be a bit rubbish. Whether or not it's
small pitch.
Yeah, small pitch. I can see maybe Rycop doing it. I think this is where the cup set might come. Obviously, when we're around, we get to Moran.
Well, to be fair, St John's haven't played since the 17th of Jan. Having said that, though, they've played three this year in 2026, won three,
that's good,
scored 13, conceded none.
Yeah.
You're still going to go with that cup set.
Okay, right, I can't do it. Yeah, I think it might be. I think it'll be close.
I think it'll be close. I think St John's will edge it, though, Dave.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think you three are a good side. They're quite an entertaining side as well, but I think St John's will just have too much about them. I think they'll win this.
I'll stick with Mark McClure, header winner.
Off the bench. Yeah. Right, Moran take on Rushing in another top flight versus a second tier clash. The game's already been switched
to Rush
Croke Lowry because
our pitch is probably, we're being realistic and we've moved it just in advance because look outside. I mean, yeah, the chances of it being on at Moran is a slim. So being proactive and got it moved to Rushing, thanks to obviously to Rushing for doing that. I love it when two clubs just do it without let the FA know just what we've done. You know, you can just talk, you don't have to stress about anything. And it'll be an advantage to Rushing, no doubt. Like I think we'd have more of a chance if it was at Moran, but. Yeah, it won't be easy for Moran to get us to get anything here. Rushing
good win over Royals last week.
Oh,
though.
Really good, yeah.
Royals a bit of a Jekyll and Hyde side scene, but nevertheless 4-2, good win in the bag. Rushing, Dave, we believe there's been a change of manager.
It's no longer Andy Moody. We believe it's Dave Ward is in charge now.
For club stalwart. So yes. That all adds into the mix, doesn't it? You know, he'll be still getting his feet under the table, as it were, at Croyte Lowry. Rushing's recent results, Dave, they've sort of... They're notoriously hard to predict, Rushing, aren't they?
They are.
But they have won. They beat Braddon 3-0 last week quite comfortably. Having followed that from a 4-0 thrashing by Onkers.
Yeah, so it's that Jekyll and Hyde thing, isn't it? But... Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, they were comfortable winners against Malone in the prelim round, weren't they? Mm-hmm. But obviously, Moran beat the Southern Club in the prelim round as well. He beat Colby, I believe. So
yeah, result of the season so
which
far.
Colby is, and you know what's mad? I loved it because we had a bit of grit and stuff. But what was mad is we played them and beat them in the cup, and then played them again in the league and followed week and lost 3-0.
Yeah.
Not that it sounded like we played badly at all in that 3-0 as well. It was apparently a short spell where Colby got their goals. I think two well matched teams there, but yeah, I think Rushing will probably. They should really have too much from Moran, but I'm going to go the Moran win.
I can only see a Russian win, sorry Tom. But you're going to go down and sample the pasty, are you?
Yeah, so I came off injured last Saturday, so it's not likely. I'll just have to rest up, and I'm thinking I'll go down, have a cup of tea and a pasty, and hopefully watch a cup set.
We'll see. We might even give you the keys to the Manx Footy podcast Twitter account so you can update the world. Although you have to keep it.
Isn't Hattie there?
Oh yeah, he's there.
So
it
just
be
like
you can have a fight with
exactly.
We've only just got him back on side. Let's not annoy him.
And I also don't want to I don't want to disturb Hattie when he's tweeting, videoing, taking photos. Like he's not doing enough. You know,
chatting.
Like,
yeah.
We should give him more jobs. Yeah. I'll try to chat to him the whole game.
Now he's a weather watcher as well.
Exactly. Yeah.
We talked about Youthy versus St John's being a cup tie.
Yeah.
I think this one is as well. Unimers versus Colby, up on the side of the lower fells of Snaefell, Gary Moore.
Yeah.
Dave, Mills have just picked up some form from out of nowhere, really.
They absolutely have. They've had quite an indifferent start to the season, haven't they? But yeah, they're absolutely flying now. So it'll be interesting to see how they line up for this one. But this has probably got the best chance of a cup set because Colby are flying in Division 2, they're top. They'll go into it with a lot of confidence with the likes of Jordan Edge and Carl Hickey flying in the back of the net regularly. Mm. Who knows? But obviously, Unimills will go into its favourites.
Well, we have to say though, Mills, last time out, 3-0 at Laxey.
That's a great result.
Which no one would have ever expected.
No. I'm just looking at that Laxey team, no disrespect to Mills, it was a strong team as well. Joe Walters. George Burrows is back from travelling. Ed Kananga's had a great season. Tom Cameron was playing.
Yeah.
That's probably why they lost.
There's no Cam, though, so it explains why it was only three.
Yeah. Matty Ogden's had a good season. Ben Wasser, Joe Waller. You know, they're not
That's
missing.
A great result for Mills. And probably, who would have put that down?
No. And who would have put Alex Higgerty as a goal scorer? Dom McCary Brennan, one of the goal scorers. It'd be nice to see him getting a few goals again. But yeah, great result for Mills. And I think that will probably just give them, see them over the edge here.
Yeah, I think so. They'll definitely be favourites. I think they'll just be slightly too strong, but Colby will give a good account of themselves.
Tom, obviously, you Moran have been transitioned into a Division 2 side this year. Mm-hmm. Where do you see that difference in level between the Premier League and
Division 2? Well, I was just going to say I was just thinking, actually, Una Mills playing Colby is really interesting because I'd say they're not that far away from each other at all. And normally I say it's like the bottom four Div 1 and the bottom four Div 2 are all very, very similar. Top four. Yeah, sorry. But there's more than that. I think like Mills are in 8th, so they're quite up, further up, and they're probably not that dissimilar to the top four in Division 2. So I think it's closer than it's ever been.
You think?
I think it is closer than it's ever been. And that's why I think a game like this makes it so entertaining, because Colby can turn up and do Mills, I think. After Mills beat Laxey, I think it's never been a situation. Well, maybe there has been. I don't know if they've been here for how long, but it feels like there's not been in a while been a situation where anyone could beat anyone.
Well, it used to be famously leagues within leagues.
Yes,
and then St George's on their own league. But, but yeah, obviously it has since FC Lorient's conception. It has levelled things in that regard. Right, Castel and Corinthians, Dave.
Yeah,
big home game for the Mets, but it. You do fear for them in this one a little bit.
Yeah, you do. I think this is the one Dina's going down to cover.
Hope he's sharpened his pencil.
Yeah.
So is that top of Div 1 versus top of Div 2?
Second in Div 2.
Second in Div 2,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, expect goals. I mean, yeah, Corinthians are flying. They're just, with that team they've got, it's a bit rude really, isn't it? Like, the amount of talent they've got. But Castletown, you know, they had a bit of a rough patch a few weeks ago, but they seem to have bounced back now. They'll obviously want to carry that on this weekend, but I can't see them getting a win, unfortunately. But you never know. Alex Corley, club legend, record goal scorer. You just never know, dear.
Castan beat Malou to get to this round today. Is that in the cup?
No,
that was the league.
That was the league. Okay. Yeah. Castan with a good go. I don't know. Ross Crawford scoring goals. Alex Crawley's just been. Just quick mention him. I think he's clocked up his 400th appearance for the Mets.
It's just staggering, really.
Yeah. So well done to him. He's captain. He seems to have tempered his temper a little bit, isn't that fair?
I wish we kept our stats. Do you know what I mean? Like, how good is it to know how many games you've played for the club? Gosh, Pete, I always just think of Colin Moore when we do this. Yeah. Know, what a guy.
So I think Paddy must be keeping them down at the stadium. But yeah, and I think he scored 350 goals or something.
Yeah, it's something like that, isn't it? So.
A fantastic return, really. And he's been with the club. Did he have a brief spell at Russian? I might be misremembering here.
Oh, I don't know.
Ash Shansbury went over, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, I'm not sure.
But yeah, I may be misremembering, but yeah, I did think he might have had a very short lived spell at Russian in the Golden Black, but we'll, you know, it happens to several of them.
So Castletown has scored 77 goals in 15 league games this season, so they certainly know where
they are by far that division's top scorer, aren't they?
They are. So, you know, whether they can carry that into a game against the likes of Corinthians have got 17-17.
Bloody hell.
So
there should be goals in this one.
There should be.
It's going to be a 0-0.
Yeah. But I think, maybe Corinthians just to return back up to the East with the point, though not the points, but their name in the round for the next, in the
half of the
Yeah, that's the one.
That one, yeah.
St Mary's Royal is the 1:45 kickoff at the Bowl this week. We should also just point out that all these cup games kick off at 1:15, the early time, in case they need to go to extra time.
As they should, and I think that's an argument to suggest. I think they should all kick off at 1.
1:15.
No, sorry, 1:15. That could be. Don't just do that for the cup. Do it for every single weekend. That's my eyes. Everyone gets to the pub quicker. Everyone gets back to home quicker.
So kicking off half an hour later, are St Mary's Royal. They're usually the early kickoff, so now they have the late kickoff. St Mary's Royal. Any hope for Royal in this one, Dave? I think St Mary's train after I play football on a Wednesday, and you know, Alex seems to be getting good numbers down there, Harrison.
Yeah, I think they're purring at the moment, aren't they, St Mary's? They're in good form. I think they're second only, really, to Peel in the form table. So they are flying. I can't see anything other than a Saints win. But, you know, we talked about Royal being a bit of a Jekyll and Hyde side. You know, if they can perform on the day, who knows? But I can't really look past
it. You don't lose to Moreira and beat St Mary's, I'll say that.
Watch this face.
Yeah, but now they're going well. Yeah.
So, but I will say, it's at the Bowl.
Yeah.
You guys played there last week. Yeah, the lads mentioned it. It is a big pitch, isn't it?
I can't say I spoke to many of them about it, but it's a different game, isn't it, on the Bowl, I think. When you play there compared to the muddy, horrible, wet pitches you play around the island that make Max football what it is, but they're still a bit all over the place. it changes the game. There's no excuse when you miss, when I miss kick it on the ball, I can't look down and look for a divot. So yeah, I think that'll have a part to play, but I think that'll benefit Mary's, obviously. They play in there every other week.
Yeah.
So, and yeah. Yeah, St Mary's, I think, will get the points here.
The points?
The
points. Their name in the hat. Yes, the crown. Right, yeah. It's easy, isn't it?
The very last week.
Yeah. Finally, the remaining FA Cup tie talk is between the previously mentioned Laxey and the previously mentioned Braddon. Now, up to a couple of weeks ago, you would have gone home win.
Yeah, 100%.
But Laxey seem to have been going through one of their more difficult periods. Dave, they've lost their last couple.
Three in a row.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Braddon obviously got an important win against Old Boys last week.
Yeah. Actually, Laxey have not won at all in any competition since beating Union Mills at the end of November.
Oh!
So Laxey haven't won a game since the end of November. What's gone over the festive period? Winter's really not playing for Ninth Carnton, has it?
No.
Yeah.
So after such an encouraging start to the season as well.
Yeah, I did think this season was the worry I had, that they'd be up there, you know, Cam was finally going to get his hands on a trophy. I was a bit concerned.
But having said that,
it's been disappointing.
One of their best results of the season was a 7-1 win over Braddon at Glen Road. So, and that was back in September.
So this might come as a kickstart season type thing.
Yeah.
For Laxey, mightn't it? That's what I'm thinking.
That's how Johnny Palmer will be billing it.
Yeah, he will be, yeah.
Can't discount Braddon, though, I don't think.
No, we can't. No, they've, yeah.
Having played in a team that loses quite often, Tom, how do you change that mentality? Like, because obviously you go into a match after like one or two games, you could probably shrug it off. But when it becomes, you become a serial defender,
yeah.
And are you already beaten before you've stepped out onto the pitch?
Sometimes, yeah. You know, when you go into, there's a difference, I think, between walking into a changing room is when you've lost the one or two games in a row, and but there's positive signs and stuff. The weeks when you've had a shocker, and the week that you all come into the changing rooms, I think sometimes the warm ups tell a big story as well. The confidence, like the lads talking, I think it really gets to you. Well, it gets to me anyway, and maybe I think that'll impact a lot of the lads when you've been so many games in a row, especially when you've been at fault for most of the goals. That doesn't help either. The confidence is like, yeah. Sometimes I'm like desperate to be on the bench. You know, you're just like. Give me a moment of
But I suppose also the one of the factors of that as well, Dave, if Braddon get an early goal,
yeah, who knows?
Laxey heads, do they?
Yeah. Go into off the back of that defeat, as you say, to Mills. So, yeah, confidence might not be high.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I can't believe when we looked at that Laxey team, how many players there are that are quality. Yeah. You know what I mean? They're like, they're a brilliant, brilliant side. And
it's just not happening.
Exactly. On paper, this should be a Laxey comfortable win all day. But that's the beauty of the cup, isn't it? Might not be as easy as that.
This might be the not so big cup set that we were all there.
But did we not? Are Laxey not quite a good cup team? Do you not think they?
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are. Johnny knows how to get them to a final.
He does. Yeah, they don't necessarily win them, but they do have won a fair few, haven't they?
Yeah.
Aussie Cup, remember?
No.
Yeah. So I wouldn't want to call this. I'll go Laxey just.
Do we think maybe extra time?
That'd be good.
Penos?
Do you think we're gonna have one? We're gonna have to have one extra time, aren't we?
Yeah. Maybe even a pen. Pens. This could be the game.
I hope it's Brown to Hatties.
Right, two games in the league to just quickly touch on. Canterlife Premier League, there's a game that's been postponed already. That's Foxtel Ramsey. I jest it hasn't been postponed, but we know that it will be, unless it potentially could be switched to Ballacloan. But that again, Ballacloan has been hammered by the North's been hammered by these big waves this week, so that might not even be a.
But if it doesn't go on, it's Andy Ball's fault.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah, it will be Andy Ball's fault. But if the very slim chance it goes ahead, Dave, can Foxtel get anything out of this game?
Who knows? Never say never.
Ramsey don't have a good season, are they?
Ramsey, again, a bit all over the chippy, aren't they?
Yeah, they are, which is weird, because again, if you look at Ramsey's team on paper, do they get raided by FC Leman?
No, not really.
Who's the...
It's Charlie Higgins. Yeah,
he's a big one.
Yeah, but he's been there. That's not a new thing.
Is it not?
No.
So as I say though, Ramsey on paper, you'd think they've got a great team.
But they're still sitting sixth.
Yeah,
we're having a 20-point. Oh no, that's last season.
Sorry, I think they're having a bad season.
Stand by. They sit in 10th.
They lost to.
They're not safe yet.
St John's 5-0 last time.
Do you think 14 safe?
Yeah, they've got games in hand as well. They've got 5 games in hand on there.
I think morale went down with 18.
I think the highest ever was 19.
Oh, okay, maybe I'll get that wrong. Yeah. By the way, who'd have thought they would be in the bottom four?
Yeah, so. Foxtel have only accrued the 1 point this far this season.
Desperately not to get any more to beat Moran's record.
They've only played 12 games because of Billy Moat. So I feel They're going to have a congested end to the season, aren't they?
And the congested end, I don't think, will go well. Do you not think somewhere Lee Gale will be sat there maybe thinking, I've just just let
you
them,
never know.
You know.
No, it's Andy Bull's fault.
Yeah, we have said,
I'm going to go for it. I reckon they'll get something here. If it goes ahead, Foxdale will beat Ramsey on Saturday.
It's so easy for you to call this one because it's not going to go ahead. Yeah, okay.
He's just backing Foxdale. Yeah. Giving you some pants. So.
Yeah.
The thing is, Ramsey are really Jekyll and Hyde. We talked about them. Like, they lost 5-0 to St John's last time out, and then they were beaten by Old Boys in the Cup prior to that. But then they beat Oncombe. You know, yeah. Oncombe were flying. If you look further back into the season, they beat... Who else was it? They beat...
Well, they've got 4 wins to their name, so they've beaten other people.
Yeah, St Mary's is one I was thinking of. Yeah, they beat them at the ball, which is, you know, no mean feat. So... I think they'll get back to winning ways.
I caught up with a couple of Foxdale lads. Well, I say caught up with them, I just bumped into them because Morale were playing at Balfletcher and Foxdale Combi were playing. I think they were getting stuffed by Corinthians Combi last Saturday. And Stephen Bettridge made me, for the first time ever, speechless. I didn't have a comeback, so I come off, I'm injured, and I come off. And I say to him, he says to me, did you score a hat-trick? I was like, no, why? And he goes, because you got the match ball under your shirt. Which I had no answer to, and they all walk off giggling, and all of us. So I shouted, shut up, I think. Which is, you know, you've lost. Oh, it was the worst thing in the world. So well done, Steve.
So they're good at comebacks, just not particularly good at football.
No, they're not. And he's not, obviously, he'd be a big miss. He's been a big miss, Steve, not playing as well.
He's a leader of that side, isn't he?
He is.
Arden and Drogon Division 2, there's one game also that sees the bottom two go head to head at St Ninian's, and that is Governors Athletic versus Duggleton District. Now these two only played the other week, Dave, and it was nil-nil.
That is,
now I'm going to put my punditry neck on the line here again. Dave Matheson will be, I'm sure he's already poised. I think that might have been one of their first ever nil-nils.
Well, yeah.
I would say, as a club, Duggleton District have less than 3 nil-nils in their history.
Yeah, surely. There can't be that many in men's football in general.
There is. We reckon it's over... Well, the Premier League's had it over 20.
20, now. They didn't have a nil-nil last season anyway. I just checked that, but I don't know any further back.
So nil-nil. Now, will there be a goal this week, Dave?
Do you think that's good defending, or do you think that's all? I'm worried.
Hattie went. Hattie cut in the game. Well, he did say there wasn't many chances.
Yeah, I feel like that is not great defending, and that is the build up towards the goal might be. Yeah, what a midfield battle that must have been.
Mm.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Neither side have won a game this season. Is this the time?
This is it.
The moment. Well, the Governors have done their classic. I feel like they've not been far away.
Yeah.
In many games, and yet they haven't won a game.
Yeah, I mean, they're playing at what's it called, the new ground, isn't it?
Yeah,
on Bray Hill.
It's, well, the school.
It's the school, but it's mad, isn't it? Really? Though that's a new ground. Like,
didn't you play there? Didn't you?
I did. Yeah, I just it felt weird. It wasn't good. But,
no. Remember, you said you were going to do a really big piece for the podcast, and you just forgot.
Did I just not do it?
Yeah,
that sounds a lot like me, doesn't it?
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, it was good. Good. It's another place. I quite enjoy it when there's another place to go.
Yeah, so do I. Yeah.
I'm going to go. Where is it, Gov? I'm going to say 3-all.
Wow. Do you think...
He's going to go feast for Hammond.
D&D has scored 7 goals all season in 18 games. So, think?
I wasn't aware of that stat before I made my bulk of it. How many have they conceded?
91. Gov's have scored 19 and conceded 54.
Is that their first clean sheet last week?
I'm sure it will be.
It's the first time they've kept it under 4 for a lot of this season.
Well... You know what? I'm back in D&D.
You're going to...
I think this is it. D&D will get the points.
We've said it before. Fair play, lads, because you're getting 2 teams out every week. Exactly. And I've noticed with Dave's excellent work on social media, there's a lot of the younger players are coming through from their youth system. And isn't that great that they've started their academy however many years ago now, and they're now starting to see that. So you've just got to stick at it.
Yeah. Like, what was it, like 3 16-year-olds they fielded in their match the other week or something?
Yeah, fair play to them. All have been... through their system.
When a club does it like that, you can't have any more respect for them, can you? That is exactly. It's the perfect way to do it, and fair play to Dave and his
team. Right, this is probably the most eagerly anticipated moment of the month for most people. It's Dave Reads the Weather.
You lead sandbars, don't you? Not too much report. Obviously, a lot of games were called off last week, but...
Oh, hang on. Should we do Comic Corner first?
What normally goes first?
Oh, Dave, I've said David would do that.
We'll do David's leather.
No, let's do Comic Corner first.
Okay.
I want to finish with a punch.
Yeah, okay.
Comic Corner.
Right.
If anyone's still listening this far.
Yeah, Corinthians continue to lead the way in Canada Life Comedy 1. The Whites were one of the few sides in action last weekend, and they romped to a 10-0 win over Foxdale at Par Fletcher. They lie 3 points ahead of second place Russian and 4 ahead of Ramsey in third, although the Northerners do have 2 games in hand. The only other Comedy game to go ahead last Saturday saw Laxey record a 4-2 win over St Mary's, a result which leaves the minus fifth in the table, some 6 points behind leaders Corinthians. There's better news in Arden Druggan Combination 2, where 3 games survived the weather. With the top 3 all not in action, the highest placed team to play were 4th place Jims, who eased to a 6-0 win at home to Governors. That was the same margin of victory as 5th place Colby, who got the better of D&D 8-2 at the Station Fields. While Moran also enjoyed a good day, as they defeated Royal 5-0 at Par Fletcher to make it 6 points Saturday.
Yeah.
That's a rarity, isn't it, Tom?
It's not very often we say that. Well, we've had it a couple of times now in Div 2, and it's just amazing feeling. And then speaking to the Fox, I saw Will SP, the Foxdale Combi manager, and I just almost said to him, stick at it, because this season's going to be horrendous for them. They're in Div 1, the Combi definitely shouldn't be in Combi 1. But it's like both of us. They used to laugh at us when they'd come on the back of a 6-0, 5-0 win. It's great for when you're winning and stuff, and it's lovely, 6 points Saturday and stuff. But yeah. Foxdale now have got the other side of it, where if you go up, it's almost like your first team punish your Combi, don't they, if they're good. So, no, 6 points Saturday is always fantastic, though, and I...
Pints afterwards, did you say?
You know what, I think I was quite tame on Saturday, but which is unlike me. But...
Says the man wearing a brewery top.
Yeah, well, I got this kindly given to me by Oakles last night.
Or the breweries are available.
Yeah, yeah, I'm starting to think they're paying me. keep the prices down.
Finally, Dave, read the weather.
So, despite the wind howling at our windows right now, Saturday's going to start mainly dry but cloudy, with some showery outbreaks of rain developing during the morning. They perhaps become a bit more frequent and heavier later in the afternoon and the evening. So, you might get a couple of games. Going to struggle this week, I think, but yeah. Sunday will be largely cloudy and mainly dry, although still a risk of a few showery outbreaks of rain, but nothing that will thwart the Floodlit Cup final at the bowl.
So that's the one we can guarantee we're on. Well, actually we can't even guarantee it. Sometimes the bowls, obviously, but no, the chances are that game will go ahead and maybe a handful in... And you know what I'd hate to do? We predict the results every week. Predicting which games will go on and which wouldn't be easy. I know Foxdale's like the likes of them. And
I feel like we could have a good guess.
Do you think? Because I think sometimes...
If your game hasn't been shifted, that would be off.
Yeah, it would.
All Boys, Blackberry Lane's not brilliant. I'd say that would be off. Youthy, potentially be off. The others, Mills, maybe? But because it's on a slope, it sort of drains.
Stuff,
yeah.
It
would
just be pretty...
Yeah.
That's the time I got a fairly good pitch on this. Yeah.
Do we need to touch on the Dean's upfront footy plans for the getting people in a room first?
Oh, getting people in a forum. You may need to explain that a bit more.
Yeah, Dave, you can go.
No, you have to, mate. You run
I don't know what it's called.
The Max Football Forum.
Yeah, which is a really, really good idea of, I think, getting all these people who've got, you know, so many loud voices in Max Football, and to get them all to sit down and listen to.
Yeah.
I like the format he's going for, where it's like, is it MEPS?
So it's reps from the FA, FCL Man, and Referee Society,
yeah.
I think. And then obviously a lot of people from different clubs and stuff.
I'd recommend everyone getting signed up if they can. I know there's a limited space and it's at Onken Clubhouse, but
yes.
I'd recommend people going along because that would be a fascinating discussion.
Are you sure going? Are you
I'm
going
to go along.
Yeah.
I'm going to go along and...
I would say this. I think it's very commendable. I think it's a great idea. But isn't this not what the FA Council's meant to do?
Yes. Yes, and
isn't
but
that a representative of every club, the FA, the Referee Society, the junior?
But I think the transparency key here is big. Like Dean wants to make it broadcast for everyone,
right.
Because
right.
I also think as well is, you know, when like every team has got a person at the club that goes to these council meetings. I don't think we're in a lucky position around where Colin comes back and he'll tell us what's been discussed. Mm-hmm. And he'll give us if we're interested, he'll tell us. Where I think a lot of clubs send a random person who probably know what the players are after or what the general club feel is, just goes along. And that's no disrespect to them, by the way. They're still giving up their free time as a volunteer to go along.
But again, is that not the clubs?
Yeah, it's on them, the clubs. Mm-hmm. And there should be more transparency. I get the clubs should be doing more, but Dean's doing this thing where I think it'll engage, getting people listening.
Yep.
And I feel like since he's announced it, I've heard loads of people talking about questions they want to ask the likes of the FA.
Yeah.
I mean, they get bombarded with people. Every pub on the island, I reckon, at some point has a bit of a natter about the FA, don't they? So it'd be good to see their defence of it almost.
What date's that day?
Wednesday the 18th of Feb, right. And it starts at 6:30.
So I will be there, and we'll get maybe even a bit of a podcast special if I can speak to everyone. Yep. That'd be quite cool.
Yeah, that'd be
fun. We'll speak to Dean about that as well.
It would be, yeah.
Right, if we don't see Tom there, you'll see us at some point in the future. We've got some exciting things lined up for the podcast if they come off, which will be very exciting. More exciting than a film picture, which was very exciting.
Yeah.
This will be even more exciting than that. But, yeah. But we can't divulge too much.
We can't give it away yet, can we?
And on that really poor teaser, until next time.
Ta-ta for now.